Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Mike, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Excellent, excellent. Well, what did you think on Saturday? The shutout. I know it's so funny. It's like the angst of our fan base, and there's just no offense. How is this team ever going to compete? Meanwhile, it's another shutout. 6-3 and outs, I think, by the defense. Granted, I know Missouri was playing shorthanded. I understand. I get that too. But you know, what are you getting from all of this, as far as what you hear from the fan base?
Yeah, you know, you got to remember that what you see on social media is a really small portion of reality. And, you know, because there's a lot of people that played football and understand football that are just sitting back looking at what these people are saying about Jake Fromm and the offense and saying these people have no clue. It's called complementary football. And what it means is you set your offense and your defensive strategies based on how the other one's doing. And if you're beating a Missouri team that's got no offense and your defense is that dominant, you're not throwing it all over the yard. In fact, that's the only way you could lose a game like that, is to turn the ball over against a team that leads the nation in defensive touchdowns and a team that ranks fourth in the country against yards passing allowed per game. Why in the world would you want to go in the teeth of the Missouri defense? The one thing Missouri does well is play pass defense. So, of course, Kirby Smart and his offense are going to tailor their offense to the game situation and the opponent. And, you know, the problem is, as you said, the Chicken Littles out there that are just looking for any reason to complain and whining. And listen, they're in every fan base. It's not just Georgia. I didn't know, you know, that there were this many of them in the Georgia fan base, but remember, a lot of the Georgia fan base is kind of bandwagon people. You know, people that, you know, because Georgia's doing good, they latched on in the last few years. They weren't there 10 or 20 years ago. They don't really understand football. And so, you know, if Georgia doesn't do well enough the next 3 weeks, they'll jump on somebody else's bandwagon. But that's a very small percentage of the Georgia football fan base. Most people understand that what Georgia's doing right now, to be ranked in the top five in the country 3 straight years under Kirby Smart, that this is historical success and that it should be appreciated. Most people feel that way. So I don't really allow those people to cloud my judgment. I understand football. I think what Kirby's done with the talent that he has been impressive. I mean, they lost their top five receivers from a year ago. You take any quarterback's top five receivers from one season and plug in five brand new ones the next, and their numbers aren't going to be as good. So Jake is 21st in pass efficiency instead of 5th, right? He's played 3 straight turnover-free games. Find me another quarterback that's done that. You know, Georgia's 3 shutouts for the first time since 1981. That's a feat. We're talking about 38 years since that's happened in college football at Georgia. So I think Georgia's in a great position. I think they're about as good as they can be at this stage of the season. I mean, they had a bad game against South Carolina, but and as far as I can tell, there's only, 4 or 5 teams out of 130 that don't have a loss this year.
So I want to talk about the defense more in a second, but while we're talking about that offense and those wide receivers, I walked away Saturday very, very impressed, as I've been with George Pickens. But if Lawrence Cager, now we don't know the full status on him right now, missed the second half, George Pickens looks like he can be that guy on any team out there. But what did you take away from George and sort of what you could maybe call a breakout night for him on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think George is a talented guy, but, you know, he can't line up wrong and cost your team a 68-yard touchdown. You know, that was a freshman mistake, and that's the kind of thing, you know, a lot of people don't see. And I'm sure there's times that, you know, there's been other mistakes we don't see that's left Jake holding the ball or led to an incomplete pass where we wondered if he misfired, if somebody didn't run the right depth. Again, this is part of playing with new receivers, but I was impressed with Pickens. I thought he had a nice game. He had 7 catches for almost 100 yards against South Carolina. You know, that was a pretty good performance too. They happened to lose the game. You know, what I'm seeing more though is George is starting to hone in on, you know, getting the ball to the right people instead of trying to force it to some others. I mean, we saw a couple other receivers that with drop passes, and you just, you know, you can just tell Jake's trying to keep everybody involved, but at some point you got to pare it down, and you know, you don't really need to throw the ball to anybody, but you know, your top playmakers, those are the guys you got to look for, play in, play out. You know, you got one tight end catching the ball consistently. You know, you got two or three receivers you know you can count on, and you got two running backs that are pretty consistent finding holes. You know, and it was great all season to spread the ball out and keep everybody healthy, but against Auburn, every play is going to be at a premium. And I think Pickens is going to be one of those guys they're going to look to, especially when you consider he was an Auburn commit. So that's going to be a big game for him personally.
I was going to bring that up, and I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that or not, that he, I'm sure there will be a lot of extra, you know, little some comments from the crowds and some booing perhaps. But, yeah, George Pickens had a long-standing relationship with Auburn and Gus Malzahn all the way up until what appeared signing day. Does that play a factor into this weekend, you think?
No, I don't know if it plays. If it does, it's a positive factor. Typically what I've seen is, you know, kids, when they play against schools they were once committed to, they usually play really well, you know, because they know that coach thinks they're really good. It actually gives them kind of a show of confidence. That's been my experience in these situations. But no, I don't think it's a sidetrack or a detour. I mean, this is strength on strength. I mean, this is just football. I mean, this is, you know, Auburn's had a week off. This will be the second straight game that Georgia's played a team that's had a bye. The fifth time this season they've played a team that's had a bye. That's something else a lot of people don't think about. Georgia's played a lot of rested football teams. South Carolina was one of them as well. And that is a factor, I think. So, you know, this is Georgia's season on the line, in my opinion. I think they have to win this game to go to the college football playoff. Even if they were to win the SEC championship game, I think they need to beat Auburn.
Talking with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. I know we'll get the update later, but a lot of I don't know that there were a ton of serious injuries, but just seemed like, especially on that offensive line, the Dogs had guys dropping like flies on Saturday. But I guess it's a testament to the recruiting, just being able to bring in five stars to take their place. But what were your thoughts on just what was going on the offensive line on Saturday?
Yeah, Kirby said he thought everybody would be fine. You know, Cade Mays came to post-game interviews. He was fine. Isaiah Wilson went back in the game. So there was two or three. Trey Hill's probably the guy you wonder a little bit about. And Cade went in there and played really well at center. You know, I know there was one snap that went through Jake's hands, but that might have been a little high. But I thought Cade Mays played really well. So I don't think you drop off too much there. You know, Ben Cleveland came in the game at right guard when Cade went to center. So you're right, there's a lot of depth there. Jamari Salyer, another guy. You know, he was like a next man up for a few snaps when Cade went out. He got rolled up on late. But should be okay. Cager, a guy that, you know, Kirby said could have come back in the game in the second half if he had to. He had that shoulder. It's a subluxation is what it is. It pops out of joint. Very painful. It can be popped back in. I've seen guys play with it. Not a lot of fun. But I expect Cager will play. You know, really, to me, you know, they got a big boost with Tyson Campbell coming back. I mean, you know, that you got another guy in your secondary, and Tyreek Stevenson looks ready to play. So you add two guys like that, Tyson Campbell and Tyreek Stevenson, the defense gets even better. So I was more impressed by the additions than I was, you know, the loss. You know, it's an ongoing thing. Every team gets bumps and bruises and loses guys as the season goes on. But I think Georgia's in decent shape for the Auburn game, based on what Kirby said and based on what we learned in the postgame.
Mike, that defensive streak we have now, which I find extremely impressive, a lot of factors go into it, but the lack of a rushing touchdown, Georgia, the final team in all of college football. But what I loved is, I think you and I were standing together after the game talking to Monty Rice, and he was very unshy about saying, yeah, we knew that was a thing, and it motivated us to stop that. But what are you taking away from this defense and maybe that sort of attitude? I liked what I heard from Monty Rice after the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think this, you know, defense has grown some teeth and some pride and some leadership. And you know, when Roquan Smith left, that left a big gap. You know, that left a leadership vacuum there. You can't just, you know, as Kirby Smart said, they're not going to have another guy come in and fill his shoes. And certainly that was missing last year. And I think locker room leadership, you know, Kirby says it's good, but I don't think it's great. I don't think it's what it was in 2017. I think this team is growing into that. And you grow into that, you know, by overcoming adversity. You grow into that, you know, by coming through together and accomplishing things like this streak of not allowing a rushing touchdown. The only team in Division 1, 2, or 3, I think UGA Sports first came up with that stat. Patrick Garvin first came up with that stat. But, yeah, they're the only team in Division 1, 2, or 3. That's over 500 football teams. And Georgia's the only one that hasn't given up a rushing touchdown. And then you look at the NCAA stats, and they're the number one team in the country in red zone defense. And then you look at all the major statistical categories, and they lead the SEC in everything. Rushing defense, total defense, scoring defense, pass efficiency defense. And yet all we hear about, as you said, on social media is, you know, people worried about Jake Fromm, who, oh, by the way, is 32-6 as Georgia's quarterback. And ranked at the top 25 in pass efficiency, even with a made-over receiving core that sustained five injuries. So, if you think you got it bad, I'd suggest you look around the SEC at some of these other schools, not named LSU, and ask, if you'd rather trade places with them. And as far as LSU goes, I see warts in them too. Their offense is high-powered, but look at their defense. I mean, I'm not impressed. And you throw a good defense against LSU, and what's going to happen? I think there's plenty of hope for Georgia to beat LSU. I don't think that's an unwinnable game. I think this Saturday's game is the one that could stop Georgia from making the college football playoff. I think Georgia matches up better with LSU than they do with Auburn, in fact, because Auburn is a physical team in the trenches. It's a road game, and, Auburn can run the football and stop the run. And that's something that, I've got questions about LSU's ability to stop the run, but not Auburn. This game Saturday is the one that Georgia's got to get over, in my opinion, to make the college football playoff.
Hey, before we let you go, too, I think we haven't said as much, too, about special teams where Rodrigo is outstanding and Jake Camarda is really starting to put together a good season, too. And a lot of folks were maybe a little bit down on him after last year, but we've seen him improve tremendously. But what are your thoughts on Georgia's special teams?
Yeah, and Dominic Blaylock, he had 16 and 18-yard punt return. I thought that was a lift. Yeah, they're coming around, and Rodrigo making 4 out of 5 kicks. I mean, that's par for the course, 80% for him. And, Georgia's playing good enough on special teams now, and there were some struggles with Marta earlier in the year. But, he's a young punter. He's only a sophomore. And he's, again, another guy that's grown into it and another guy that, Kirby Smart believes in and wouldn't have out there if he didn't think he could handle it. I'm with you guys on the social media stuff and the Chicken Little people that are out there. I guess, like I said, they're in every fan base. You can't let them bother you, but anybody with half a brain can see that, at 43 years old, what Kirby Smart is doing with this program, you just hope that Kirby doesn't become a victim of his own success. And I've seen it happen before. It's the nature of sports. A team gets really good, and, when they don't perform, what did Kirby say, 24-5 wasn't good enough? I mean, listen, that's 12 wins a season. It really is good enough. I mean, it's great that he doesn't think it is, and it's great that he has his program aiming higher, but it'd be ridiculous if fans were to try and hold him to that standard and suggest that any change or do any second-guessing, when the team skips a beat. And, because who knows, if Jake goes pro and a lot of these guys leave, I don't know what next year is going to look like. Maybe they do drop down to, 10 or 11 wins. But as things stand, I mean, if you're a Georgia football fan, and you guys talked about the setting on Saturday night in that stadium, looking out over that crowd and seeing the people coming down the street to the stadium, and, to me, and I forget who said something to me about Jacksonville, but I said, look, man, it's not even about Jacksonville. It's about this. It's about this stadium, this moment, this campus. Nothing compares to that. And to me, it's about not wanting to ever take a game away from here that you don't have to. It's not about, the NASCAR, RVs and drinking and fun in Jacksonville. It's about the magic at Sanford Stadium. And I thought it was a beautiful setting Saturday night for college football. And you're right, the campus was magnificent. And, I can't get enough of that setting.
Mike, thank you very much. By the way, I know you're a veteran. It's Veterans Day. We appreciate your service, too. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it, man. We'll see you guys later.
All right. Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation podcast. www.sportsmanshow.com.